How do we start these typically?
Oh, you usually make some sort of joke and then you're like,
why was 6 afraid of 7?
Why?
7, 8, 9. Just let it roll.
I was just gonna let the joke hang in the air for a little bit. It was so sophisticated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good stuff. I guess this is Radio Vision episode 15. how's it going, everybody? Thanks for tuning back in to your favorite Batman the Animated Series in Review series, Radio Vision. We are a spinoff of Radiovania, and by we, I mean my good friend Zach. Zach, how's it going?
It's going fantastic, buddy. How are you?
Good, good. And me, Jonathan Martis Parker, and my social security number is just kidding.
We're in rare form tonight.
Yeah. I'm doing well, though. Thank you for asking. So, you excited to talk about some Batman?
I'm absolutely excited to talk about the Batman. But question for you here, John. Have we ever looked up podcasts online and seen like where we rank in terms of most viewed Batman the Animated Series rewatch podcasts? Because we certainly were in the top 10.
Is that a filter that you can pull up?
I'm doing some research right now.
We're doing live research, guys. You're
Batman
watching
the Animated Series.
Two crazy guys just researching stuff.
Yeah, Batman the Animated Series, baby, rewatch
Batman
podcast.
The Animated Series.
Batman the Manima. There's a Batman the Animated Series podcast that's been going for a long, or no, they've only been doing 30 episodes. But, they have special guest Batman the Animated Series producer Alan Burnett on one of their podcasts. Oh, no.
Alan Burnett? Oh, God.
We're ruined.
We got to get somebody. We got to get somebody. I bet we could get one person. We'd probably have to pay them, though. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a great question. I'm going to try and figure out if there's a way to, sometime not on the show, I'll try and figure out if the way to sort analytics, because certainly among the people in the United States of America, nay the world, that are doing a Batman the Animated Series rewatch podcast, I gotta, you gotta believe that we're in the top, 10? It's gotta be, right?
Yeah, maybe top 10 for listens, top 3 for just pure grit. You know what I mean? Just out there on the streets.
Can you sort podcasts by grit?
What's the grit count on this album? I don't know. Oh, man. Well, anyway, you may, after all of that, you may be wondering, how do I listen to these podcasts if they're so good? And boy, am I glad that you asked. You could head over to radiovania.com. That's D-C-O-M. And you could look us up there. And then on YouTube, just look up Radiovania. And Zach's laughing at me. And
D-C-O-M.
You'll see all of our videos. What?
D-C-O-M?
Yeah. D is short for dot. I'm decreasing it.
D-C-O-M. Holy shit. Is it Friday yet? What the fuck is happening?
I wish. Anyway, you know, email us at radiovisionshow@gmail.com if you want to know what's up. Hit us up on Threads, Radiovania Show on Threads, and then Radiovania Show on Instagram.com. Zach, This is our 15th rewatch of Batman the Animated Series. We are trucking right along. We are through season 2.
We certainly are.
And the episodes that we're talking about tonight is, first of all, a two-parter called The Heart of Steel. And then we have a third episode that we're talking about later on called If You Are So Smart, Why Aren't You Rich? Which I'm excited to talk about both of these, actually. One is very timely. The other is really fun. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
But before we dive in, Zach, what did you think about this batch in a broad sense?
In a broad sense.
Because last week's episode that we did this was, you know, not the best cream of the crop.
Yeah. Last week we did, good Lord.
Strange Secret of Bruce Wayne.
That's right. Okay.
Yeah. And then there was some other stuff.
So I don't know. A general off the bat, another solid week, but not still not creme de la creamy. I enjoyed my time with all three of these episodes, but I think we're definitely in a little bit of a lull. But that's, I guess, to be expected. I mean, we had a ton of hard hitting stuff right off the get go. Like episodes like 8, 9, and 10 of this podcast were like all stellar, and then
all gas,
no breaks up until the Laughing Fish. And then right after the Laughing Fish, it's like, I don't know, what happened? Your balls fall off? It's kind of like, so yeah, it's good. I enjoyed all three of these episodes. What did you think on retrospect going back and rewatching this batch?
So Heart of Steel is not typically one that I revisit a lot, but I actually thoroughly enjoyed myself. I kind of forgot that it was the soft launch of Barbara Gordon, which is really important.
Yeah.
When we talk about that, you know, we can go into detail and stuff like that, but pretty pivotal Batman character to just like drop in on us about a two-parter about AI is pretty funny. So I thoroughly enjoyed watching both of those. And then I've seen If You're So Smart, Why Aren't You Rich several times just because of the premiere Riddler episode. And it's fun. I think it's got really classic like 60s Batman feel to it where they're in a giant maze and stuff.
Yeah, totally. The camp. I'll just say the camp in these three episodes is at an all-time high. I mean, it's yeah. It's pretty great. You got robots walking around. You got fucking Edward Enigma fucking doing some jack shit in a maze. You got video games and Alfred and Robin. So, yeah, I'm excited to talk about these three episodes.
Definitely. Well, let's not wait any longer, shall we? If you haven't watched these three episodes yet, go check them out and then come back and listen to us talk about them. Obviously, you know, not a whole lot to spoil with these per se, but it's just more for your enjoyment so you know what we're talking about.
And something else to note, we should start saying this more at the top of each one of these shows. John and I are rewatching Batman the Animated Series in the original intended written order, correct? Am I saying that right?
Yeah, the order that it was intended to be shown in, which is what is in the order on the DVDs.
Yeah,
and
so
on Amazon.
If you went to HBO Max, which is probably the streaming service that most people out there have, and
it
went
is
to
all go, out of order.
It
I'm
is
sorry.
Out of whack completely. It starts with like Cat Scratch Fever or something like that.
Yep.
And then it's all
because that was the
jumbled.
Premiere episode on TV. Yeah.
Yeah. So on HBO Max, it shows you the episodes in
our new cat burglar is a woman. Remember that?
Yep. I do remember that. Batman was shocked that women can be burglars too.
A woman robbing this high rise. Alfred,
but
I think I see a female.
If you're ever confused about what the order, you want to watch along with John and I as we go through this Batman episode, this rewatch podcast. Fear not, Wikipedia has been the best resource, I think, because it lists the episodes in the written order, the way that they would appear, like in chronologically written, not release order. So. This is the one show I think that we would ever do it like this, because always with these shows, I think we'd always review things in the order they were released.
Yeah. With like movies and stuff.
With
sure.
Movies and stuff, with chronological, like when we do get to Star Wars in review, 4, 5, 6, 1, 2, 3, then everything else. And then all the you know what
definitely.
I mean? So it's not like
4, 5, 6, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 again, 7, 8, 9.
Yeah. Spicing a little Indiana Jones in there.
Just fucking throw it in the pot, buddy.
Yeah.
Some red tails.
My God.
All kinds of stuff. Yeah. You remember that one? Well, thank you for saying that, Zach. But he is definitely right. So sorry I didn't reiterate that in the last, I don't know, five of these. But
no,
hey, you know,
I just thought about it when we were doing it. Because again, like I had the moment where I went to HBO and I was like, what in the fuck episode am I supposed to be watching? And then I have to open my phone and go to Wikipedia and find the list. So
yeah. Yeah. We should attach the list, like
it's a good idea, actually,
to the page. But let's talk about Heart of Steel Part One. The amount of times that I almost typed Heart of Ice was pretty funny.
Yeah.
Title card watch here, pretty run of the mill. We see our boy Hardak right there in the middle with like Marine Corps style font. I don't even know. Weird, right?
Yeah, I'm going to give this title card a 4 out of 10. I'm going to say the text is what throws me off the most. It is, it's like spray paint marine font like you would see on the back of like some wartime hero's satchel. But for whatever reason, it's on a
single wartime hero's satchel.
So yeah, that threw me off a little bit.
Yeah, 100% agree.
Also, what is the deal with, do they just love hearts over there? Warner Brothers Animation, Heart of Ice, Heart of Steel. Are they in their heart
episodes?
You
gotta think there's like 200 of these episodes, right? After a while, you're just like, whatever.
They're like, fuck it, Heart of Steel.
We can't just have it say Steel. They'll be confused. They'll think it's Steel from the Superman comics. Mm. Yeah. Don't we all?
Don't we all?
Don't we all? Well, anyway, this episode is written by Brunette Stevens and directed by Kevin Altieri. Zach, you ready for your 2-minute plot synopsis? And buckle in, because there's a lot of plot points and I'm a little messed up right now. So, but don't worry, kids. I'll get you where you need to go.
So before you start the plot, did you combine part one? Oh, there it is. I see the part two break.
They're still separate. I just didn't put a big break in the middle. Yeah.
Okay. Ready when you are, buddy.
All right. At Wayne Enterprises, I'm already making myself laugh. Hold on. Let me start over. At Wayne Enterprises, a fine dame drops a briefcase off by security. The briefcase comes alive as a robot self-pilots itself to the top floor. It navigates under a lax security system and breaks into the data vault. It steals all these little floppy disks that are inside the data vault. But this triggers an alarm before Bruce Wayne leaves Wayne Enterprises for the evening, and Batman is able to be on the scene fast. He ambushes the robot suitcase, but is unable to stop it from escaping via rocket as it shoots itself off the roof. The same woman from before that dropped off the briefcase intercepts the rocket and gathers all the data chips. Batman follows in his hang glider, slowly, somehow able to keep pace with her this entire time. The woman's car defends herself against Batman with machine guns in the trunk, and he is blown off course and knocked out. The next day, Lucius Fox calls Bruce and says that the heist took all of their silicone R&D data chips for the base of AI, which is, Zach, what is AI?
Artificial intelligence.
We're not going to let you give our jobs to robots. As I think what Brian Cranston would say.
Yeah, just think of Brian Cranston. Damn you, Iger. Damn you all to hell.
We got a message for Mr. Iger. They deduce with Jim Gordon that checking on an old pal, Carl Russman, and his company would be worth taking a look as a potential suspect because he's the only other person in this industry. Bruce claims that he has a friendship with Carl already, who has become a recluse after his daughter died recently. Then comes in another person's daughter, Barbara Gordon. She comes into the meeting to check on her dad, Jimbo, Commissioner Gordon. Zach, Barbara Gordon's here.
She's here. Not expecting her to pop up. I was like, oh, it's Babs.
Yeah, I also forgot that she was popping up in this episode. But I mean, and she's also, I think, used pretty well in this two-parter without her being Batgirl. Spoilers. Yeah. Spoilers. But I will say, when she comes in this moment, creepiest line in the show is Bruce saying, Barbara, you've grown.
Yeah, oh yeah, like, that got like, an eyebrow raise for me. I was like, yeesh, because what didn't, side note, we're still in the plot here, but wasn't there some controversy, if I'm remembering, like 5-6 years ago where Batman and Barbara Gordon fucked?
Yeah, in the Killing Joke movie.
No, before the Killing Joke movie, in the comics, I'm pretty sure that I remember reading about some sort of controversy where Bruce Wayne got Barbara Gordon pregnant or something like that.
I mean, that's happened. He's gotten a lot of people pregnant in various Elseworlds and stuff. Yeah.
He's just impregnating people. That's what Batman does now.
The bat spurt. Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Sorry. but Spitash. Yeah, I mean, Spitash. Especially after what you have said and that Killing Joke animated feature that they put together, having him and Barbara hook up a lot of times makes this line like really creepy. But anyway, we learned that Barbara is in college and she's at home visiting her dad for a little while. The next day, Bruce arrives at Cyberden to see Carl. He denies anyone attempting to fence the chips to his company, but Carl shows Bruce the prototype AR on the premises, HARDAC, which stands for Holographic Analytical Reciprocating Digital Computer. Bruce meets Carl's assistant, Randa Duane, which is just, that was a name to write down, let me tell you. And asks her out to dinner. Meanwhile, HARDAC creates a lifelike android that looks like Jim Gordon. HARDAC demands that she put the plan in motion tonight. At Gordon's, the real Jim is stunned while answering the door, and Barbara notices right away that something is off with her quote-unquote dad. Bruce tells Lucius that Carl knew that there was a theft, which was suspicious in and of itself, and Randa arrives to Wayne's for their date and leaves her makeup mirror on Bruce's desk. The little mirror hacks into Bruce's computer and steals the full wetware file, which again is the basis for AI. And HARDAC is always listening and reassigns Randa to look at the Wayne Manor instead when she realizes it's not on the computer. She goes there, stuns Alfred, and begins to search using X-ray specs. She locates the Batcave entrance and gathers all the data there. Bruce wakes Alfred up when he gets home and he cannot remember what happened. And HARDAC has infiltrated the back computer and seizes Batman with this giant claw that he conveniently has in his ceiling that dries out his glider when it's wet. and other stuff, I'm sure.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
So that's Hardak's intro in Heart of Steel Part 1. Zach, that was a lot of plot, but let's talk robots, let's talk AI, let's talk Hardak. Where do you want to start?
I mean, honestly, it's difficult to you know, figure out where to start here. A lot of the biggest bulk of the episode, I feel like, is like everything from the briefcase coming alive up until basically like that scene takes forever. Like the chase and everything like that, where he's flying on flying on the glider. Like for a while, I'm just like, and Batman has barely any speaking lines. Like Bruce Wayne just says one thing at the very beginning. I was like, is this episode just going to be all completely like no dialogue basically?
Yeah. It's a low budget episode. It's like Tom and Jerry. Yeah.
Yeah. And I was like, what is the direction here? But then they get to the boardroom scene and Barbara Gordon shows up and then they start dealing with the AI and the robots and the fake versions of themselves. It's interesting. I think the cliffhanger isn't super effective. But I did get quite a few laughs out of the robot Jim answering the door. I thought that was pretty funny.
Yeah, and that's a direct homage to Killing Joke. The shot of them opening the door with the shaded figures in the doorway is taken right out of Killing Joke, in which Barbara and her dad are also at home just chilling, and then crazy shit goes down. Mm-hmm. So I like that a lot. That's actually my animation sell of the week is the direct homage to Brian Boland's art from the Killing Joke comic. But yeah, I agree with you. I think it does start out really weird. I kind of forgot like how long that really goes on for. But yeah, it's not really much of a Batman episode. The next one, though, much more so. But yeah, pretty low action. So as far as part ones go, you know, it's a little on the slower side. But
yeah, I just like it's funny because like this plot has been in a lot of other things. Like I can't cite anything off the top of my head. But wasn't there an episode of SpongeBob where Mr. Krabs is a robot and everyone's like, they all think that it's actually him, but I think it's Plankton. Isn't Plankton takes control of Mr. Krabs and is trying to like get the people to reveal the formula, but it's a robot.
That Mr. Krabs robot looks very obviously like it's a robot.
It looks like a robot, but it's like beep, boop, beep. It's like, I'm Mr. Krabs. And that's the same thing with this. Whenever I saw this shit as a kid, this plot device of like, oh, it's a robot, but it talks it's like a
supercomputer. Yeah.
It's like, what are you fucking, are you brain dead, Babs? Your dad is like, she's like, is everything okay? And he's like, it's fine.
She's like, you've only said it's fine for the last 36 hours. And it's like, I would have called somebody by then.
I would have shot it with reckless abandon. Just take out the gun.
Yeah, you alien scum.
Just empty the clip and keep clicking until it's gone.
You and Bryan Cranston are just going to start executing the machines. I can't wait.
Oh, dude, I didn't authorize no father machine. I don't want this thing in my house. It's like...
Father machine.
Oh, get that shit out of there. Daddy.
Awesome. Did you have a favorite animation cell or anything?
It's honestly hard to pick one. I really did enjoy the shot of the woman looking through looking up and seeing the bird shaped thing, and then she's like, wait a darn tootin' second, and then she puts the things up and it's Batman. And I was like, that's pretty funny. So I'll give points to that shot. That made me laugh.
Yeah, that's good stuff. All right, so we gotta throw this in our rankings here. And I think what we're gonna do, Zach, is we're gonna split these up before we start.
Okay, so we're doing the split.
We're doing another split. It's gonna be either fourths.
Okay. So where do you want the let's go to the bottom.
I think you start from the top. You cut out the top 10 on its own.
Oh, okay. Oh, you just mean you want to separate it all out right now. You don't even want to just rank this and then split it.
Yeah, I want to split it and then we can rank it. Yeah, okay, so we can have it split for the rest of the episode.
So now there's a space after the Clock King, which is our number 10.
And then put a space after Night of the Ninja.
Okay.
So another 10 and then a bottom 7. Does that work?
So we got S tier, A tier, B tier, and C tier.
Exactly. Yep. Yep. It's starting to develop.
Actually, this bottom 31 to 37 might be like D tier, but we don't have enough.
Yeah, maybe off the map.
Can we put another split but on after the fr- or what let, can we put a split between Eternal Youth and I've Got Batman in My Basement and
Yeah, that's
that'd
fine.
Be F tier.
That's the F tier.
This is the shit tier. If you go okay. below 33, you've made a mistake.
So what we're looking at right now, if you've been listening to the other episodes, is we start with number one, which is, if you could remind me, I think it's the laughing fish, right?
Yes, the laughing so fish is currently our number one.
The laughing fish to Claw King, and then we have a break, and then we have Robin's Reckoning Part 2 to On Leather Wings, then we have another break. Feet of Clay Part 1 to Night of the Ninja.
Yep.
Break. Mad as a Hatter and Eternal Youth. Break. I've Got Batman in My Basement, The Forgotten, Prophecy of Doom, The Cape and Cowl Conspiracy, and Underdwellers. All poop trifecta. So I like this. I think this is maddening, but I love it.
Yeah.
Because now we can just start saying, is this A, S, B,
sure, yeah,
C, or D? Yeah.
Yeah, top tier, middle tier. Yeah, and I'll categorize these and make this a little bit cleaner somewhere down the road, later on this week. But yeah, I mean, do you have a gut intention? I'm going to say if it's S, A, B so far, the three, I'm putting this firmly in the B tier.
Yeah, I was going to say B as well. I would say B. I actually think that this, as a first episode, I actually think I like it more than the Cat in the Claw Part 2, personally. But I don't think I like it more than the Hugo Strange episode, The Strange Secret of Bruce Wayne.
Yeah, yeah, definitely, definitely not. But yeah, I'm also...
So making it like the new 25 or 26, I think, is where it belongs.
Yeah. What happened in It's Never Too Late?
Is this a bit, or are you genuinely asking?
I'm genuinely asking. I'm terribly sorry to ask.
It's okay. What? It's okay. Every episode we do this, it's just funny. It should be in the bottom tier. That's how bad It's Never Too Late is. That's the one where the crime boss and his brother were playing at the train station.
Oh, it's
and his brother's leg got run over, and he became a priest, and his other brother became a mob boss. Who was
Why did we do that? Why did we put number 27? Why is it so high?
I don't know. I want to keep trying to see if you remember sometime.
Do I really ask about that same episode every week?
For the last two, you have.
That episode is just
forgettable.
In one ear, out the other, baby.
Maybe we should move it.
Yeah, no, I'll go with you. I'll say better than Cat in the Claw, but not as good as Strange Secrets of Bruce Wayne. So I think it goes in at number 25.
The new number 25. Thank you, Zach. All right. Well, let's just dive right on into part two, shall we? Same creative team, same title card. So we'll just go into our 2-minute plot synopsis here. Batman is struggling to fight the giant claw, but he is able to rip out the hydraulic cables after a little bit and shut it down. Bruce traces a link over the computer that was overriding his back computer, but is not able to trace it fully to its source. The quote unquote gym sends Harvey Bullock to take a statement from Rausman's lab and then stages an ambush for Bruce at the Gotham Club. Hardak subdues Rausman when he's trying to reset the computer. And then Mayor Hill is also replaced by a duplicate of himself. Barbara summons Batman with the bat signal and tells him someone is impersonating her dad. Harvey, quote unquote, then arrives and attacks Batman, but is revealed to also be one of these androids. Bruce sets out over the, Bruce sets out to check on where the robots are coming from. Sometimes I write these things way too fast on my phone, so I apologize.
Batman sets out to dox over where these robots keep coming from. That's tripped me up a little bit too.
Yeah. Oh, well, he's there. He went to check.
You're doing a good job.
He went to go check on the source. Bruce then arrives to spring the trap that they set for him at the Gotham Club. It's just a bunch of guys like taking him into an exclusive room where he turns the tables on them and does the before any of us get on. I'm sure nobody wants to get off. Barbara puts together that Bullock was last seen at Cyberton, and then she goes there herself to case the joint on her own. She is captured by one of Hardak's drones in the process, though. Batman also arrives to Cyberton in time to foil Hardak's plan of turning Barbara into a replicant like everybody else that he has so far. Hardak serves to fulfill Rausman's plan to work on a replacement for humans because Rausman's daughter was killed in a car accident. And he got really upset and then started to build a super robot. Batman learns that Randa is a duplicate as well, and he terminates her by smashing her with an elevator. Barb helps Batman get out of the building and they're all reunited safely, where Barbara tells Batman that she would help out anytime and that she had fun. The end. Heart of Steel, part two.
Part two. Zach,
what did you think?
It's good. I mean, again, just like the first episode, this is one of those weird, like, did this need to be a two-parter? Probably not. I think you probably could have trimmed a lot of the action in this, but again, it's a kids' TV show. So I'm sure, you know, you little young JP running around in his PJs watching this shit was probably fucking stoked to watch Batman battle and a robo arm.
I was like, hell yeah. Yeah. I don't know where that thing's coming from, but that's crazy.
It's that's real.
This
But overall, just, you know, it's okay. I like the ending quite a bit. I really liked the resolution and like this the talking moments with Barbara and with Jim and just the insinuation of what could be going on down the road. Like, it's one of those cool wink wink nod nod things, because, you know, if you're a casual fan of Batman, or just maybe you're like watching this series, or as a kid, maybe you don't know that Barbara Gordon ends up being Batgirl, but it's just cool that they wink and nod at you and they're like, hey, this character might be more important than you expect. And maybe down the road, there might be something cool that happens. I personally don't know. So this is, so for me coming at this, right, I know Batman lore, but I don't know BTOS lore. So I'm coming into this and I'm like, oh, Barbara Gordon's in this episode. I wonder if it's going to like be revealed that she's actually like knows who Bruce Wayne is and like Batman is and like he's working with them. And by the end of it, I'm like, oh no, she doesn't. But, you know, I wonder if they're going to play around with her as Batgirl, because I honestly don't know if she shows up as Batgirl in the show, but I'm guessing she does.
I can't tell you anything.
Okay. Yeah. But it was cool.
She does.
I'm going to tell you everything, but regardless, I just thought that that was a very cool ending and a very satisfying way to wrap the episode up. And I just thought it was a really cool tease for the future. But what did you think of the episode?
I mean, I'm a sucker for Terminator robots with skin suits on. I think that always plays, you know what I mean? So I had fun watching him like throw Harvey Bullock's robot into the bat signal and gets like electrocuted.
That was rad. Okay, so that was an awesome animation moment. That'll take the cake. That's got to take the cake for my animation self for the episode.
For sure.
Is the top down shot of his robo body just like burning alive in that thing or whatever. I was like, man, that's fucking brutal. And how fun, it's like outtakes or whatever, like that he ends up, that was like actually Gordon and
really
he fucked
him
up or whatever.
He's
like, oh my god.
Yeah, I mean, they play it up really seriously too, like Barbara's like crying and stuff because she thought she killed him, and then he pops up as a Skeletor robot and then Batman decapitates him. So
so did you want I know the soundtracks in these shows, is this the same person that wrote the score for all episodes of BTOS, or is it
Shirley Walker?
Shirley Walker. Could it done with a little bit of
in 1991 Judgment Day? Come with me if you want to live.
Yeah, you want naked Batman with a shotgun or whatever?
Yeah, exactly.
How good is Terminator?
Dude, so good.
You want
to do
Terminator in review?
No, because I only want to watch three of them. Yeah, no thanks.
You know what? You want to watch Terminator 3, Rise of the Machines, and Salvation with your boy Sam
I like
Worthington?
Salvation. That's the third one that I mentioned.
Oh, that's the one?
Yeah. No. That's my third favorite Terminator movie.
Did you ever watch the one with Emilia Clarke?
Fuck no.
You want to?
Yeah, maybe. Is that the same one that has Lando Hamilton back, or is that different?
No, that's Fallout
Dark
or
Fate.
Whatever. Yeah, Dark Fate. Yeah.
Jesus Christ, man. The Terminator. It's cool to see Linda Hamilton back, though. She's a badass. My son, John. Remember when Kyle Reese is like, I came across time for you, Sarah. It's just like the way he says it is so weird.
Acting in those movies, maybe not top notch all around.
Yeah, you know, that was before Big Jim figured out how to direct humans. So
yeah, exactly.
What did you think of the weird, ironic nature that we're in, that we're watching an episode of Batman about AI while the writer's strike is happening because of AI?
It is a weird little parallel, but honestly, I didn't think too much about it because they don't really... Does he say artificial intelligence in the episode? He actually says those words. Then it must have like I must have just not really even thought about it while I was watching it, because you bringing it up here.
You have been taken over by AI and you don't register your own kind.
I don't know what you mean.
Kill the robot. Oh no, he's failing
yum,
to
yum,
drink.
Yum. I love wine. No.
What would you do if you came up to visit me one time and I was replaced by a robot? How long do you think it would take for you to notice? Like 2 seconds?
Like less than a half second. And so I would
like strolling down the driveway.
I would kill everybody, right? Okay, so here's what I would do. I find you're a robot. I'm going on the world's best revenge episode of anything.
It's like John Wick.
Seen.
Yeah.
John Wick, get the fuck out of here. I'm about to go Zach Wick on these motherfuckers. I'm going to find anyone and everyone that turned you into a robot, and I'm going to waste them.
But if it's like this episode, I'm fine somewhere.
So you're just like, you're so then the
you'll
Bahamas
just have committed
whatever.
Mass homicide for no reason.
You're like, oh, hey, what's up, man?
Hey, dude, like, I went to get vacation. A sandwich. Oh, my God. You become the Ronin from Endgame. Yeah, that's funny.
They got Thanos. You get me.
I think if I came to visit you and you were a robot, I think the first thing I'd do, besides obviously be really sad that I don't know where you are, is I would fuck with it and like try to take it around town to stuff you and I do, you know? It's like take it to the Echo, try to put it to the test to see if we could eat a lumberjack. You know, just see how long it takes for fake Zach to be really recognizable.
Interesting. We both come at the robot scenario in very different ways.
You're just like, I'm going to murder everything. And I'm like, I'll take it out to lunch.
Because I'm assuming that you've been kidnapped and turned into a robot, or they've commandeered your body. Because in some respect, they have the DNA in order to recreate your skin.
Well,
so,
let's be honest. I've left a lot of DNA in a lot of different places. So.
Bazinga.
Oh, God.
It's like right. Us.
Oh boy,
that's funny.
All right, so let's go ahead and throw.
Did
this
you even here. Say what you thought of this episode? Did you say what you liked of it? Did
you... Maybe not. I don't know.
I don't think you said if you.
I liked
you
it. I like. I there agree you. With you. I love all the allusions to the Barb stuff a lot, and I love the rooftop fight with the Harvey Bullock animatronic. I think those are the standout moments for me. Hardak as a character, I'm not a big huge fan of, at least in this iteration. But I do like seeing all the characters like in robot form. I think that's always like interesting enough to me. Is like, oh shit, what if they were machines chasing me? You know, I'm kind of in on that.
Silly question: is this the first appearance of Lucius Fox in the BTOS canon?
No, we've seen him in very small scenes a couple other times.
He did show up before. Okay, got
yeah,
it.
Yeah, we acknowledged it. We talked about Batman Begins for a while.
Okay, it's just always weird. It's jarring to see Lucius Fox, because when you say the words Lucius Fox, I just immediately think of Morgan Freeman now.
Like a submarine, Mr. Wayne.
Like a submarine. Andy Dufresne was my favorite.
When Bruce Wayne came to Shawshank in 1949.
Shawshank in review.
I'm in. You let me know. That's in the top 15. I love that movie. Andy Dufresne crawled through 3 miles of shit, smelling foul that I'll never understand. Okay, let's rank this. We're getting out of hand here. You got to bring me back in. Otherwise, we're just going to keep going.
Down, boy. All right. I also say that this, it's got to go in that third column.
I don't think it needs to be disrespected by being put in the fourth group with Mad as a Hatter and such. No. I think it's also a B. I like it more than part one, if that helps.
Yeah, I guess I would also say I like it more than part one, but not like just barely. So I honestly don't know if this goes above The Strange Secret of Bruce Wayne again. Like, I think the pair might just be destined to live together.
For now, I mean, stuff will probably get shoved in between it. But yeah, I agree with that. Let's put it at the new number 25.
New number 25.
Yep.
There it goes.
Hard to Steal Part 2. Awesome. All right.
So we got a lot of just to notice something. The only part one, part two episode that has a noticeable gap is Two-Face Part 1. But everything else, it's like it's pretty close to each other, right? Am I thinking of anything? Robin's
I think it's
part
interesting
two?
I think it's interesting that we don't have more of the part ones and part twos in our top 10, which speaks to the fact that more does not equal more. You know what I mean?
No.
So I think all of our top 10 are really interesting episodes that you could just pluck one of those and show it to somebody and be like, this is Batman the Animated Series. And they'd finish it and they'd be like, holy shit, this is Batman the Animated Series, you know?
Or you just show them the laughing fish and say, this is cinema.
This exactly.
Just wash yourself over this. Let this episode cover you like a beautiful blanket.
Oh, so nice for you. Yeah.
All right, I can't imagine anything's going to ever dethrone that episode.
It's going to be tough. I'm honestly trying to remember. I mean, Almost Got Him is really good.
That's another one that I've always heard people talk about, but I've never seen all the way through, I think.
Oh, God. I can't wait to get to that. That's so exciting to me. But, yeah, we'll see as time goes on. It might have a couple contenders, but it is pretty damn good.
I could
good.
Have been somebody. I could have been a contender.
Oh, gosh. All right.
Let's talk about Paul Dano, baby.
Yeah, let's talk about him. Ooh, okay, interesting. All right. I was looking at next week's, so. All right. And then our final Our final episode of the evening is If You're So Smart, Why Aren't You Rich? Written by David Wise and directed by Eric Rondomsky, who is the co-creator of Batman the Animated Series, actually. So he doesn't get on the directing chair very much, but it's cool. Cool to see him get one. I like this title card a lot. I think it's dope. I just wish that it ended in a question mark in the middle a little more obviously. That's my only complaint.
Sure. I mean, it's hard to tell with the text kind of covering it. It's cool. It's very, very cool. I mean, you see this immediately. So here's my train of thought with this episode. I see the title, If You're So Smart, Why Aren't You Rich? I'm like, what the fuck does that even mean? And then I see the title card. I'm like, oh, it's a riddle. And I was like, okay, well, it's a Riddler episode. Cool. I'm into that. We haven't seen him yet, right?
No, this is his debut in the show.
Yeah, that was exciting to me. I was in the gym and this comes on. I'm like, let's go.
Let's fucking go, boy. Didn't I tell you this man was going to bring a non-electric camera?
It got me a couple more steps than the stepper machine. It gave me a little bit, that boost I just needed.
A little flick on the rear.
Just nice. A little flick on the rear to help me get the rear toned.
Well, speaking of toned rears, why don't we read the plot synopsis?
Smooth.
Sound good?
Real smooth, buddy.
This podcast is brought to you by... And have a good one. Edward Nygma arrives late to work and sees that his office has been locked up. He's being fired by his boss after he sued the owner for royalties over a game he invented called The Riddle of the Minotaur. 2 years later, and Mockridge, the owner, is pitching Bruce Wayne a sale of his company. He sees a riddle on the stock tracker behind him across the street that says, "Why do million-dollar deals break down in the wasteland?" Back at the Batcave, Dick is playing Riddle of the Minotaur, and Batman suddenly remembers that Mockridge owns a club called The Wasteland. Mockridge encounters Nygma at his club, where he has been taken into custody. Batman and Robin arrive and meet the Riddler for the first time, as well as his goons. Riddler uses a giant finger cuff to subdue Robin and escapes with Mockridge. As Batman and Robin drive home, all of Gotham's lights are flickering, and Batman notices that it's Morse code for "Where does the Minotaur's owner fly as high as an elephant's eye?" Batman tells Robin the answer to their riddle is a corn, or in another word, maze. They head to the amusement park where Riddler has made a giant version of Riddle the Minotaur, which they must navigate without using their utility belts. Batman forgoes the puzzles when he runs out of time and rides the Hand of Fate to the center of the maze. Batman solves the Riddle of the Minotaur and then is double-crossed by Riddler, who sends the Minotaur after them anyway. And he uses the Hand of Fate to defeat the giant robot Minotaur. Bruce buys Mockridge's company to create jobs in Gotham, and Mockridge is not really enjoying his freedom because he lives in fear of the Riddler, who is still at large. And we end on a riddle from Batman, which is, how much is a good night's sleep worth? Which I think is a badass ending.
It is a badass ending, but it's also like, what the fuck, Batman?
Yeah, seriously. So, Zach, how much is a good night's sleep worth to you?
If I could have great night, every night that I go to bed would be a perfect night's sleep. I go to bed right when I want to go to bed. I wake up when I want to wake up. I feel rested. I don't dream about that one time in the third grade where I really did that one embarrassing thing. Y'all know what I'm talking about.
I don't.
And it's like, if every night's sleep was like that, I might sever a toe.
Wow.
Maybe a couple. Maybe bold. A finger.
you're
finger
just,
on my
you're going right to
hip.
Appendages. You're not thinking about how much like money.
Oh, money. I don't
Would
know.
You pay your entire year's salary for a good night's sleep the following year?
For the rest of my life? Or just the
just
following,
the following year?
No, I wouldn't do that. That's horseshit.
What about the next 5 years?
That is also horseshit. I would say 10, that's a little bit better. I would 11. Say
11.
So 1 year's salary for 10 years of great sleep.
Great sleep. The best.
That seems like it's worth it to me, actually.
Yeah, I think so too. Yeah,
I'd make that trade. I'd sign that deal with the devil.
You'd be so healthy that 1 year. You'd be like Tom Brady circa 2019.
Yeah, you know I could probably play professional
pre-COVID,
football.
Just fucking shredded it up. Yeah.
Yeah.
He had Antonio Brown on his team.
Couldn't be crazy. Better. What a great time.
What could be better? what did you think of the introduction of the Riddler in this episode overall?
It was really, really cool. I liked the episode a lot. I think that obviously the Riddler has been changed and morphed so many times over the years that it's hard to go back to this version of the character where he's just very very
Batman.
Low key.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we've seen what the Riddler can be when you let him be a little bit more psychotic. I know this is an unpopular opinion, but I don't hate Jim Carrey's version of the Riddler. He's just too over the top, but I do like the sadistic nature of the way that Jim Carrey kind of portrayed him, like kind of that cable guy sort of vibe. Mm-hmm. But I gotta say, Riddler, you can tell that this is his freshman appearance because his riddles are just not A tier. These are like he got these he got these from the back of like a fucking Zupets book or whatever. Remember those things?
How do you say like a popsicle stick? Yeah,
he got them on the back of a popsicle stick or those magazines you used to read in the waiting room of your doctor's office or whatever.
Yeah, definitely.
So yeah, not the one thing though. The one thing that gives him total credence, right? And for this, I'm gonna consult my beautiful nurse girlfriend who's in the other room really quickly. So there's a scene in the episode where the Morse code is flickering in Batman. Somehow the Riddler has been able to hack the entire power grid for Gotham City and is flickering the lights as SOS. Hey, Emily, if someone were to take control of Gotham City's power grid and flicker the lights on and off, how many babies did they kill? Because you have to think of all these kids in the NICU or whatever. Like, if you're turning off the power on and on off again, that's pretty bad, right? Hospitals. That's the first thing I thought was, I was like, hospitals, people would be dying, shit, like life support be cut. The Riddler killed. I think he's mass murderer.
You don't think they have backup generators for this?
She says backup generators. I didn't think about the backup generators. Do every building,
gotta
every building has backup generators?
You gotta check the backup generator, Zach.
Okay.
First Riddler. Crazy.
What'd you say? Yeah, but what if the Riddler hacked the entire power grid? Do backup generators take into account riddles? All right, well, we're going to come back to this. We'll solve this puzzle other time.
We'll solve this riddle, the Minotaur, another time, yeah.
I think we're going to have to go to a hospital and figure out if this is true for ourselves.
Everybody, hold on. So just take a minute.
You would get the giant switch or whatever. that was the first thing I thought was I saw the power flickering in Gotham, and I was like, he's probably killing some motherfuckers just turning off the lights.
There's definitely some guy watching fantasy football stuff that's losing his marbles, where he's like, God damn it.
He turned off the power at Nana's house and she fell down the stairs. He definitely killed some people there. So I don't know. Riddler. Mercy. Riddler's fucking evil, dude.
He's a harsh guy. Yeah. Yeah. This iteration is very, very much more like the comics or the Frank Gorshin version of the Riddler. Definitely not Paul Dano, but a little bit Jim Carrey. They stole some of the Jim Carrey stuff from this episode for sure, where he's like an ex-employee of another corporation or something. So, but yeah, I think he's portrayed by John Glover in this show from Smallville, which is also
He is portrayed by John Glover. That's right.
Yeah, pretty dope. Pretty dope playing Lionel Luthor over in Smallville. So that's pretty cool. What did you think of the maze part at the end? I'm a sucker for a big maze, like Goblet of Fire, big maze.
I was gonna say Tron. Big Goblet of Fire energy.
The Zelda labyrinth in the sky. That shit's dope. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Very, very cool. I like the end sequence. Honestly, my favorite little touch was I liked like them figuring out the maze riddle, getting to the maze, and then the giant screen appears with the Riddler like talking to them. And I just really liked like, nope, no utility belts. Like if you're going in here, like if you want to save this person's life, it's no gadgets. It's just your brain and your brawn. You got to go in here, yeah, and you got to figure this shit out. And I liked it when they dropped the utility belts, the screen, whatever the visual effect is of the screen, like flickering out. And then the doorway appears. I was like, that's a fucking cool ass visual. Yeah. I agree. It's campier. It's a little bit more over the top. I like the performance, but it's just, you know, it's definitely a change from the Riddlers that we've started to kind of be more accustomed to since the darker days of the Batman series. Arkham games had a really dark, cool take on the Riddler.
Yeah, I'd say Riddler is still like as close to the cartoon as he is in Arkham, though. Like he is just doing puzzles the whole time, whereas like, you know, all those other villains are up to crazy shit in those games and they look so grotesque and stuff. This guy's just like, he's like a wife beater wearing Riddler hiding in his mom's basement somewhere. Yeah.
I do like at the end, he's like, by the time you get to me, he's like, I'll already be gone. And it's like, he's in a B-wing or whatever flying over Gotham.
So cool. Yeah. That's, I think, really interesting is that Batman doesn't catch this villain.
This is the
first time he's not caught a bad guy in our show.
Really?
He's like, yeah, dude, he's like 39-1 now. It's crazy.
Yeah, Poison Ivy goes to jail. He does catch Joker at one point. He
goes to Two-Face jail. Joker always gets caught or pretends to die. So that counts.
Huh. Wow. I didn't think about that. Yeah. Then that adds some bonus points. I like a good bad guy because that's smarter than Batman. Don't go to your own maze. You know, I like that. This guy's thinking like an A-class citizen here.
Run the maze from work from home.
Exactly. Yeah.
No need to go in the office anymore.
He's got that cush desk. He's got one of those little treadmills that goes underneath the desk. Nice
standing desk. Yeah, for sure.
He's got Uplift. Like, he's like
crushing Snapple and power bars just like getting through the day, you know?
He's like, yo, I'm the Riddler and I'm sponsored by UV Blue or whatever. Hey guys, I'm sponsored by Liquid IV.
Subscribing to my channel. Really appreciate the tip on detonators. Yeah. Crazy. Very different from that Riddler, that is for sure. But I think this episode is really fun. I love the campy nature of it, for sure. I think I agree with you. I wish the riddles were a little more challenging. I honestly can't remember future Riddler episodes if they're much more clever or about the same. But 9-year-old me was like, wow, that's the most ingenious thing I've ever heard in my life. You know? Crazy.
Yeah, this is like a 9-year-old Shutter Island, I guess, or something. Or a 9-year-old Seven. How about that?
He's always been the caretaker.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I don't really have anything else to say about it. You mentioned some cool visuals earlier with like the giant screens and stuff like that. I just love a good version of the Riddler suit that looks like a suit with like the bowler hat. Sure. I think that's dope looking. So I'd probably go with like the first reveal, personally.
Yeah,
or when he shoots the finger cuffs like dildo out at Robin and just like catches him and he just goes like ah and like falls over.
He's like, it's hot in here, Bruce.
So funny. Yeah, I immediately thought of Chasing Amy.
Fucking finger cuffs. Yeah, that's the first thing. You fucked Saint finger shithead. Cuffs. Yeah. Is there a shot in this episode where Batman like opens a door and he's like all silhouetted, or is that the last episode? That wasn't Batman, though. That was Jim.
Yeah, that was Jim.
I think there's a shot in this episode. Oh, you know what also I really liked is what's the name of the bar that they go to? It's like
The Wasteland.
That is the Wasteland bar. I like the neon sign of the Wasteland
bar. For sure. Very Miami Vice. Yeah.
I was like, that is a bar that Tommy Vercetti would hang out at, and that's where I want to be right now.
Tommy Vercetti and Tommy Buffett headline at The Wasteland.
It's like, what's their act? Oh, they just get up on stage and berate the audience and drink.
And eat all the rest of their appetizers. Yeah. Awesome. All right. Well, I think this personally is probably up in at least A for me. So I think around on Leather Wings. Personally.
Yeah, I still don't think that this clocks in above the Clock King.
No, definitely not. Definitely.
Clock King. But I do think it's probably pound for pound better than on Leather Wings.
What about Appointment on Crime Alley?
Okay, so this is the one where I'm remembering Visions, the gun. There's Visions of the gun. It kind of reminded us of Far From Home, right?
Yeah, yeah, big time.
Um, maybe POV was the cop one, right? Where it was like vantage point.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I could see it going anywhere between 18 and 19. Like, I think that it could be the new number 17.
I think it's better than an appointment on Crime Alley.
But not as good as POV.
I think POV is just clever. Like, clever writing for a kid show, personally. Sure. So.
And it's a little bit more adult, too. It's like the cop drama or whatever.
Yeah, but
like,
still funny. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Go for it.
New number 19.
Works for me. New cool number beans, 19. Man.
Also, I misspoke earlier. Clayface got away at the end of Clayface Part 2. So there's a couple villains that he hasn't caught.
Oh, actually. Wait, didn't Killer Croc get away at the end of that episode too?
Yeah, wait a second. This guy's a sham.
Wait, that man sucks.
He can only catch the goddamn Joker.
And the Joker gets out every fucking time.
Good shit. Good shit.
All right, so if you're so smart, why aren't you rich? Comes in at number 19.
Hell yeah. Well, that concludes our episodes for this week. Next week, we are going to watch a very interesting set of three, which I'm sure we've said a couple times. But Joker's Wild,
ooh,
Tiger,
Joker.
Tiger, and Moon Tiger. Of the Wolf. So yeah, get ready for that.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
So we got a Joker episode. What? So tell me the titles again and I'll guess the plots and we'll see how right I get.
Joker's Wild.
Okay, I bet that it has something to do with Poison Ivy, and it's going to... No, I'm just kidding. It's going to be... I don't know. Joker's crazy. He's going to do some stuff. Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah. Tiger, Tiger.
Tiger, Tiger. I'm thinking of Street Fighter. Tiger. I bet it's going to be like a Kraven the Hunter style villain, like a animal person that wants to hunt Batman.
Okay. You're not too far off, but a little off. But that's okay. And then Moon of the Wolf.
So this is an interesting one. I wonder if this is a Halloween-style themed episode. I almost wonder if maybe there's some Ichabod Crane or whatever that, like... Or not Ichabod Crane. What's his name?
Mr. Toad.
No. The Crane.
Jonathan Crane.
Jonathan Crane. Yeah, thank you.
How'd you forget that name?
I couldn't remember what was attached to it. I know that it's the Scarecrow. Maybe there's some Scarecrow action. Maybe some like the Ichabod Crane, like the Headless Horseman style stuff. But it's like a wolf is chasing Batman or something. I don't know.
Hell yeah.
It's just my guess. But I'm excited. It sounds like three episodes of television.
I think we'll have a good time. Moon of the Wolf is a direct adaptation of a Batman comic from the 70s that was written by the author and co-creator of Swamp Thing. So for me, it holds a special place in my heart. It's kind of like a creature feature, which I think is pretty fun.
Okay.
But yeah, so we will check those out next time if you guys want to prep for the next episode of Radiovision. Otherwise, thank you for listening to the pod. Check us out at radiovania.com. Email us at radiovisionshow@gmail.com. Radiovania Show on Instagram and Threads. He's at Zach Rotolo. I'm at Naj the Parker. And we will catch you guys on the next episode. Same Bat Podcast, same Bat Podcast feed.